If you came here tonight for the time of your life, dance make your body go down. Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody to the nation's favorite podcast. Yes, it is another exciting episode of Sincerely Accra. Mama, yes. Oh my, it is such a delight to come back and just chat into the ears of people that I completely do not know. It's crazy. But hey, you love it, so we're here. I want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante Ofori. Yes! And I also want to give a quick shout out to the GCR Network, the number one podcast hosting network in Idaho, Ghana. Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now we've gotten through our introductions, we can get right into business, because you know, this is a lot. This is a lot.
Guess we're back to being strangers. Oh no, I'm a believer no more. No begging for love.
Your love.
Made him a convenient amount, but I'm a man for loss. If he's a me who needs a swap, take my heart to run away. Tiki taka run away. NSC, come take my pain away. Don't wanna see your face again. I'm alone, I'm in the rain. Dancing with my sins again. NSC, come take my pain away. Let me know what love again. Take my pain away. Would you take my pain away? My head, my shoulders, my knees, my head up to my toes.
Yeah, we're back. It's another episode. And listen, I am back in the gym. I'm back in the gym in the last 2 months. And you know what? When I traveled, there was a gym in my Airbnb. So I started working out pretty much every day. I think I didn't work out for like maybe 3 days, but pretty much every day. And it's like every time you stop the gym and you come back, you know that initial pain that you feel when you work out? It always like gets to me, and I've somehow convinced myself. And that's how come I haven't been back in a long time. But this time I stuck it out. So when I came, I was like, okay, I'm getting back into it. And I feel like upper body, I've gotten to a point where like I've been doing it regularly, so I no longer feel the pain. Except this one time, oh my God, I met my old friend at the gym and he really worked me. Oh my God. Like I went there to do a light workout and we ended up doing like a 1 hour foolproof, like barely any breaks. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, so I've been doing leg this week, and oh my God, legs will humble you. Legs will humble you. I am going through it. I am literally like powering through, because this time I realized that like after the workout, when the healing starts, when you sit still for a long time, it gets harder, like when you're moving again. So you just have to keep mobile. Like I just keep stretching your legs under the desk when you're at the office. Look at me giving gym advice. But anyway, I'm back. And there's a little thing that's really irking me about the gym. And it's just like this whole idea of hogging things. It's like, okay, I'm doing 3 reps. Is it? No, I'm doing 3 sets, right? So I've done the first one, but I'm going to hover around this machine because you can't use it until I'm done. Even if it takes me like 5 minutes in between sets. What is that? Can somebody else use it whilst like you're taking a break? It's so crazy. And they do it with weights. They got like 3-4 different types of weights around them. Like, what is it? One time I used weight, I put it down. I was just like taking a breather and somebody came and grabbed it right in front of me. Like, what is going on? And it's like this thing. I've been going to that gym for at least 3 years. It's just really on and off. Cause I see some new people, they come into the gym and they want to act like, yo, just cause their upper body is big or whatever. Like, you know, those people, let me paint the picture. They have a big arms, a big chest, and a big belly to go with it. I never understand. They'll work everything but their stomach. Anyway, I digress. Let's get into what's been trending, guys. Okay, a lot is going on. Listen, I want to start by shouting out new music. Ira the J's got his new album out. First album, guys, fresh off the press. It's The Odyssey, okay? Now, listen, Ira. This album, I feel like I'm going to need time to get into it because I don't want to do a lot. We have a lot to get through. But my favorites off of it so far is definitely Put Up On God. I'm more fair because, you know, Beast Trap Kotom is on there. And surprisingly, True really sticks out to me. Of course, Jesus Christ 2 is there. Fire is there. Alaji Poppin is there. These are songs that were already out and I really like. But like with the new addition, these are the ones that are like sticking out to me. I've played True like no less than 50 times since the album came out. Like, oh my God, it's great. The album is called The Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-S-E-Y. It's got 17 songs. Just look for it and listen, guys. Also, Wendy Shay, she got tired from telling Ghanaians to wake up and she put out an album too. It's called, oh my God. Hold on. This is so crazy. I made my notes and I didn't put the name of the album. That is bad. I am not going to say Did Life. I am not going to say Did Life like those people did Seen the Soul when they were given the apology and they didn't even know the name of the album. Girl, why are you showing me old albums? Okay, yeah, it's called Ready. Wendy Shay's new album is called Ready. It's got 13 songs. And listen, I love Crazy Love. Crazy Love features Olive the Boy. But Don't Be Silly is crazy because Don't Be Silly has Tiffany. You guys remember Tiffany? Ooh, dear, why, yeah, why, dear, say, na, 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 na. Be, 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 of wherever she's been, to hop on a song called Don't Be Silly. There's also Mavado. Mavado is on the album, guys, on a song called Apology. I really like Party Animal. It's a very, very interesting record. The album has 13 songs, so definitely check out Ready by Wendy Shay. And I love the cover. The cover reminds me of that one scene from Upgrade You. You know the part where she was wearing this gold disc dress with the dancers behind her, dressed like Michael Jackson. And then she goes down the list of expensive things to do. Adam a piggy, wash dimples in your necktie. You remember that part? Yeah. No, it's a classic album cover. Wendy Shay, you did good. For some time now, I have not been able to figure out what Wendy's got going on her hair. But for this album cover, she got it together. I love it. Yeah, so you guys check it out. Oh, also, Mr. Drew has a new song, Head to Toe. I love it. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't think that there is a Mr. Drew song I don't like. Maybe it's the guy, it's the voice, it's just the way he, like, you know, I always love a Mr. Drew song. And Head to Toe is fire, so check it out. Anyway, Daddy Lumba update. Now, this case is getting more confusing every day. I feel like at this point, if I dedicated my life to understanding F1, I would definitely be all caught up and understood, you know, because this case is getting so complex for me. It's like e-math, and I failed that, guys. I got an F the first time I did e-math, and I left and went to do history. Yeah. There are some things, I pick my battles. But this has been a lot for me to follow. It's like, it's so crazy. But listen, Daddy Lumba, oh my God, we have updates. Okay, so today I'm recording this on the 30th of October. The court met, and you know, basically, Akuja Sewa, the first wife, filed an injunction on the body, I think, and he's also contesting position of wife. Also asking that the cause of her husband's death be actually verified because there's three accounts. The court threw out the injunction, so the funeral is still going to happen on the 6th and 7th. Now, the Busiapinyo Olumbe's family, one of the things that they said in the court that actually helped them, which is so wild to me, they said that they had given invitations to very important dignitaries like the president, John Mahama, and the ex-president, Akufo-Addo. And funeral preparations were underway. People have made plans around it. And so she cannot put an injunction on the body. The funeral has to happen. And so, yes, the court has allowed them to, has lifted that injunction. They're going to meet again on the 5th of November. I think by the time this comes out, that would have happened. They're going to meet on the 5th of November to determine the part about her being a wife or whatever. Because, you know, Akuja Sewa was married to Lumba in Germany, according to German law. 15 years ago, he came here and met Udo Bruni. And it looks like they had a customary marriage. But, you know, in the court of law is like the ordinance one that is like recognized. But anyway, yeah, so the funeral still happened, like I said. And by the way, I was following this news story, like people that were in the court and people outside the court. Papa She, do you guys remember Papa She? I feel to boo, I feel a tremmy. When I tremmy, I tremmy, I tremmy, I tremmy, I tremmy. Eh, I tell you, man, what's in then? Yes, that's Papa She. I think he became a pastor, right? Anyway, he's outside the courthouse looking like Wole Soyinka, like we're all like, Papa Shi's all up and through. And I kept reading the comments. People were like, he's a family friend and everything. I'm like, why is Papa Shi involved in all of this? That's very interesting. But he is. I saw a video. Okay, Kwame sent me a video of this lady that was outside the courthouse that was saying that. The reason why Akuja said why did not leave Germany 15 years ago when Duba was coming was because she has bills to pay. She has mortgages. They have a house that they got on a mortgage and she had to stay back and pay. And Lumba allegedly left her and came here. And so she, like this woman who was purporting to be her friend, is very bitter about it. And she's also saying that Lumba claimed to come down here, allegedly, guys, for 15 years ago because of medical conditions. And how did he manage to come here, get a wife, and have like 5 or 6 more children? Because you know he has like 11 in total. So like they just feel like, because apparently she says when Akuja Sewa met Lumba, he didn't have anything and her friends would laugh at her about it. And she decided to like upgrade him and so that he would, like, you know what I mean? Look, this is a story I saw on Instagram. I don't know if it's true, but it's like, things are coming out and I don't know, you know what I mean? But so that's the update on Lumba. The funeral is definitely going to come on, but we're going to see what the ruling is going to be about who's going to be the legal widow on the day of the funeral. I guess that's what they're fighting for. This is crazy to me. I don't get it, but we're moving on. I want to say we lost former First Lady Nana Kunedu Ajimat Rawlings, and I just wanted to speak a little bit on her. You know, I grew up in the era of a Jerry John presidency. In fact, I remember very well the time that they were stepping down for Kufuor. I feel like the earliest memory of presidency for me was Jerry John Rawlings. And I remember the 31st December Women's Movement because I lived in Dansoma next to the SNF flat, block 2, right next to my school, St. Benedict's. And there was an office around there. So I would see the sign. I used to walk to school. I would see the signboard all the time and it would make me inquire, what is the 31st December Women's Movement? And that's when I found out it was a movement that she started to help, you know, less privileged or whatever like that. Empower women, sorry. And, you know, I just remember her being so poised and like, Nana Kunedu Ajimat Rawlings is like the premier first lady. She had, like, she was able to do things. I don't know. I feel like she was one of the first ladies that we had that was like very, the words fail me, but like irabasem, like, you know what I'm trying to say? And because that's what I saw, I felt like every other first lady that came, I would always like compare them to her and I'll be like, you know what I mean? Oh my God, respectfully, guys, respectfully. Oh my goodness, respectfully. No. I just feel like, you know, she was like a difference, right? You know, I don't even want to do like a comparison, but it's just like the way she presented herself, the headscarf that she wore, it was just such an iconic, you know, thing. And so I took a moment and I went on YouTube and I went to watch this, what I consider to be pop culture lore. The interview she did with David Ampofo. You know, there was a show called Time with David, which, by the way, I was watching the show and I said, oh my God, look at the opening montage of the show. It's an overhead shot of Ghana at the time. And then it goes into like these letters, Time with David, like moving in opposite direction. Like it was so clean. What is going on? Like things used to be, look, on a marketing level, don't play. And David Ampofo kind of styles himself like a Larry King, somewhere in between the Larry King and Barbara Walters. Like he's like really in your face. Like this interview is everything. They talk about the alleged identification haircut. They talk about why the first children were sent out of the country. A lot of things. They talked about if she had political aspirations to run, because this interview was done about 20 something years ago after she was first lady. You guys go and look for it. Just Nana Kunedu Ajimat Rawlings interviewed by David Ampofo on the Time with David show. Look, you're going to love it. It's great. It's great. It was shot in Labadi Hotel, old feng shui. But anyway, it's a good interview. So I just wanted to say, rest in peace. You know, yeah. Okay, guys, I saw this story. Raquel is coming back, y'all. Raquel is coming back. This is a story that's on like Graphic Showbiz, and they're saying after 8 years away from the spotlight, Ghanaian singer Raquel is back this time with a new name, new music, and a brand new mindset. The Sweet Tio, you know how they always do that thing. The Sweet Tio hitmaker has rebranded as Eliana, a name that symbolizes a clean slate and a bold new chapter in her life and career. For the past 8 years, I enjoyed working as a full-time supply teacher in primary school across the UK and occasionally taught music and also worked as a teaching assistant for children with special needs. I absolutely love it. I love children, she said. So 8 years that she's been away, which, by the way, I'm sorry. When Sweet Tio came out, it was like 2012 at best, and that is not 8 years ago. So when she says like she's been away for 8 years, I'm like, 8 years ago, it was like 2017. Like, Cardi B was coming out with her first album 8 years ago. And I don't think Raquel was hot then. I'm sorry. Like, Sweetie was 2013. So I don't know what's going on there. But look, all the best. You know, a lot of artists have attempted comebacks after a long time away. You know, not all of them have been successful. Some of them have. You know, VIP rebranded to VVIP and added Reggie Rockstone. They had a good run. That was good. Who else has been able to go away for a long time and come back? You remember this guy, Dead Body? In the middle, I could see. If you don't remember him, it's because after his long stint, he came back. He tried to come back. And baby, that song that he released, it didn't shake anybody. Nobody even paid attention. So, you know, it's very tricky. You know, it's very tricky because Ghanaians will have this, and it happens, I think, globally. People just, they leave you in a time. Okay. And also, like, because you didn't stick around for a long time and do a lot of things, your sound is like stuck. So now, you know how Ghanaians are, very, 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 very strict. Oh my God, when it comes to music, we're snobs. So if she comes out with anything that's different from what they're used to, everybody's going to turn their nose up, unless it's like some premium stuff. And girl, I am reading what she's saying. She says, the Na came from her god name, Na Ayoko, meaning princess or queen, while Elia was inspired by a biblical reference she discovered with her cousin Ezekiel. Okay. Is this rebrand sponsored by Christ? Because maybe you should let us know so that we will not expect Sweet Tio if you're about to do gospel, girl. I'm just saying. But hey, shout out to you, you know. Somebody like, an artist like D-Crime, there's 8 years between his first and his second hit. You know what I mean? And good luck, Raquel. Good luck. Yeah, shout out to, by the way, D-Crime was on Nana Romeo's, you know Nana Romeo, that's the radio presenter who walked Kitty out for coming late. You remember? Many years ago. Well, he's replaced Abeku Santana on Abeku Santana's show, because Abeku Santana is now like a politician, I guess, an MP. No, he has like this post, you know, tourism, something. D-Crime was there, and he was asking him about how he feels seeing people who just came many years after him, past him. They compared his Instagram followers to Kim Promise's Instagram followers. Then there was a conversation about filling up like stadiums or whatever, because you know, giving Sarkodie a show, Stone Boy's tweet, you know, this thing always comes up, who can fill the O2 and all of that. Why did D-Crime answer this question talking about he's more concerned about filling heaven or something, like, yeah, he can fill heaven? I mean, like, D-Crime, listen, I just feel like sometimes when people want to do this thing where it's like they want to come across as unbothered and thriving, not just unbothered, like unbothered, thriving, they have a different mentality. They try too hard and sometimes it comes out corny. And this is one of those moments, because what the hell? Girl, you could have cracked a joke and kept it moving. They tried it with that question and they didn't get what they wanted, but you took it. It went day to me real fast. Real niggas would be turned the fuck off. And then you give non-real niggas the chance to come and write some corny shit in the comments. But anyway, good luck to you. yeah, I think that's pretty much it when it comes to our hot topics for this episode. Yeah. That's what's been trending. All right, guys.
Me like I no do before. If it time make you face the wall, only you make I want more. Give it up, make I praise the Lord. All those who need that, best for me, yeah. Ne cry no my shenika. As I want some more. Give it up, make I praise the Lord. All the way come me. Even I want to do me. Even I did my kuma. Even I did my huma. From morning to a day, I say honey, try with that. Baby now I'm a nigga. Baby just dream my coma. And I know ya, I know ya. Me call no one, me call no one. Me she all bad, no way I be far. Yeah, way I be far, way I be full, way I be full.
All right, guys. So now it's time for us to get into, you know, the nitty gritty of this episode, which is that interview with singer songwriter Kamido. Okay. If you guys know Kamido, you know, Ferrari for my lover. da 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 da. And then they had sugar cane sweet light and then later. Yeah, girl, I wanna be with you. You know that? Yeah, yeah. So Camino's been away for a while, and he came back this year, July. He dropped his EP, Trust in God, okay? And so we were able to get Camino into the studio to, you know, to talk what it's been like having a career such as his, where he's at mentally, and what he's getting ready to do. So guys, this is going to be one for the books, I guess. Get into it.
Studio, my voice, the good disco. Just see me bread, they be telling me she do. Zero, and we changing it to hero. I know the beezo. My only prayer be second, no make a give up. I speed up, take a bullet for my dreams. So call on Jesus when it's getting too heavy for me. Many rejections, steady praying, make a get chance. Every day recording for my next up, keep my head up, make the devil not be tempted. And I know they wait for them to invite us. And they try my luck regardless. Reach every corner in the room like spiders. And everything I touch, girl, they shiny brightness. Many, many things, oh, many, many things. Many, many things won't hold me down. Many, many things won't pull me back. Many, many things won't kill my spirit. Many, many things, oh, many, many things. Many, many things won't hold me back, oh. But they can't hold me back, oh.
Guys, listen, we have another exciting episode for you guys. Today, we're going to be talking to somebody very special, somebody very iconic in the making, you know, vocalist, songwriter, music video director, by the way, y'all, don't play, and also a producer. Yeah, yeah, self-taught and all of that. So anyway, without much ado, I really hate saying without much ado. It's so Ghanaian and so John. Yeah, I want to welcome Camino to the studio, guys.
Respect. Yeah. Thank you.
Listen, guys, for those of you watching from home, listening, Camino has changed the smell in the whole place. Like, oh, the scent. Please. He walks in here like he smells so good. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
How's your day been?
Man, my day is just starting, you know.
It's just starting, right?
My day is just starting.
Oh, so like, you don't tell lies.
Much, honestly.
Because man. I saw, I think, was it a Culture Daily? You were like, your day starts at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, so that's the truth.
Wow.
That's the truth. Like, my day literally starts around, like, you know, afternoon, late afternoon. That's
is it because you're up all night?
Yeah, because, you know, it started off with me battling, like, you know, sleep. It's like...
you have insomnia?
So bad.
What have you tried? Because I heard if you read a book,
works though. And reading a book works, but I'm a very lazy person. Like when it comes like that, I'm so lazy when it comes to that. Like I'm not even proud of that at all. Like you know, so but I know that it works because when I'm on the plane, I just try to like read something and boom, I sleep.
I love the honesty.
But if I'm not reading, bro, I will not. Sleeping definitely makes me sleep.
Yeah. I cannot sleep on a plane for anything. I've done everything. But anyway, when and why did you decide to change your name from Fingers to Camido?
Oh, okay. So that's how far back you went. Oh, that's cool, man. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I think I just decided to kick off the Fingers just so that Camido can stand on his own. Because like at some point, my friend and I think my guitarist was like, oh, don't you think that it's long?
Fingers Camido.
And at some point it was Rafael Camido. I was like, it's long. Just keep it. And one of my guys was like, bro, just keep it at like Camido. You know? And I think we dropped a song together. We dropped a song called Trap Motivation. And then he was like, bro, you're not going to put his long name here. Like, just kick this shit out. Like, you know? Camido. So that's when... I was like, I second thought about it. I was like, you know, actually just kick the Fingers out and just like keep. Yeah.
And I think Camido is like a name you picked up because your mother and her friend used to say something.
Yeah, it's just something I heard. It's not one of those. I'm one of those people. It's like you hear something and it sounds cool and like you decide to take it.
So you don't know what does it mean? Like,
I actually like prayed over it to be or to mean blessings.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? Okay. It's like I made it. basically. That's my word.
You put your own meaning on it.
Exactly.
And I heard you've put it in your actual legal documents.
Bagam. Put them there.
Interesting.
Put them there, man.
Yeah. So do you know how I know about you being called Fingers? Mm-mm. It's because I heard you on Passion Fruit Summers.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which is so wild because I know a lot of people probably don't know. Amare's first EP.
Yeah.
There's a song on there. And you were singing Ewe.
It's called Sundays.
Yes. How did you end up on that EP?
Man, like, I think I was working with 3FS Studios at that time. Right now, I think it's called 357.
Okay.
So it was a studio, so like a record, like a label, like a very indie label. Like my friend, like one of my OG from like the UK, he came to Ghana and then he settled in Ghana. So he decided to make music with his brother. So I think I was working with them at that time.
Okay.
More like signed.
As what? As an artist.
As an artist.
Okay.
You know, I think it was even around the time when I was trying to like get on there. So we're just friends. So I would just like come to the studio every day.
Oh, okay.
Just hang out there and all that. Let's just like watch and learn. So yeah, I think Amare used to like record her songs over there. So she comes from like, at least, I think LA. Comes to Accra to record and everything. And yeah, so that's where we met. And I think Ade told Ama about me. It's like, yo, this guy is so good, blah, blah, blah. Listen to his sound. So when I got in the studio, it's like, oh, I've heard your sound. We can work on something together. So yeah, we literally worked on the song. I think it was on a Sunday. I don't know. But yeah, should be. We're on a weekend. And then she said, let's call it Sundays. And I didn't even think that song was going to come out, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because...
Does that happen a lot? Or like, would I say before you like became more mainstream, like you used to record a lot
it's
of...
It's a bunch of songs that have... Like, it's a bunch of songs. And what will happen is like, I'll go to a studio and, you know, someone is making a song and I'll just like vibe on top of that. And then it'll be like, oh, this is dope. Put it on it.
Come and record.
You know, and then I'll record. And sometimes, you know, there's a couple of songs came out, but like the ones that did not come out are a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but your performance on that song is actually very good.
Yeah, man.
Back then when I first listened to it, I just always, this person is really dope. And then to make the connection. Yeah. Which, by the way, the Fingers name came because apparently when he was in school, Bishop Herrmann, whenever he's talking, he'll be doing this with his fingers.
Yeah, like gestures. Like, that was weird though. Yeah. But it's just something like, weird about me. Like,
it's not weird.
Now it's like people say I say like a lot. At that time, it would be like my hand gestures. It would be so weird because I'm thinking about it. I'm like, well, why the fuck? Like, would you be doing it?
It's not,
you know, weird. So I think it came from there. And then when I chose it, when I decided to like start using it, like people would attribute it to some silly stuff.
Of course.
That, you know,
of course. You know, right off the bat. Which is why I even told the story. It's like, no.
You know, boys, man.
So you decided to start singing because you heard Lonely by Akon.
Akon, yeah.
What about that song really altered your life path? Because I know you wanted to be a pilot.
Yes. I think that right now I'm actually on that wave where it's like, you have to really branch out and do something that is not done.
Mm.
It gives you the attention, you know, because it's like the whole chipmunk pitch of the song. You know, like the...
I think about Alvin and the Chipmunks?
No, you know the Lonely song? I think it's a sample.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying? So that...
Yeah.
That got everybody, you know. And so, but me also was not... It was not really like Lonely. It was more Don't Matter. I heard Lonely, but it's like Don't Matter really did it for me. It's like... The car was just...
Remind me what that sounds like.
Nobody wanna see us together. That one.
It don't matter.
Yeah.
No.
It would be that song because like, I don't know, but it's just like the aesthetics. I just loved it. That's how I like to do my thing. I just like, I like cool stuff. You know, it doesn't really have to be like all bougie, but I just like very cool stuff, clean, you know, and that's what I saw over there. So I guess I was really like attracted to that. And I was like, you know what? I want to be cool like this. You know, I want to be cool like this. Yeah. And plus the pilot self, when I was in like, SHS, when I was in Bishop Herrmann, I had to read physics. I had to read.
To be a pilot?
And bro, like me, I was doing general arts and then they wanted me to do elective maths and some kind of like, you know, it got to a point I was like, thank God I found music because I can't do this shit.
I got an F in elective maths.
Man,
so,
you know? The funny thing too, I actually registered it, but it's like, getting closer to like the WASI time, I dropped it because like there was an opportunity for you to just write three electives.
Right.
So I dropped the elective mass and then come to find out that all the squad got a port. So like plenty of people had A. You know what I'm saying?
So you could have been one of them.
It wouldn't have been to you, Seth. You know what I'm saying? It would have been chew and poor and just get the fuck out of here.
I mean, this is not the entire Ghanaian educational system. Chew and poor. But I know you actually learned how to rap because of Sakodia.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So at which point did you decide, okay, I'm not going to do rap. I'm going to pursue actual singing?
Because
you could do both.
Yes. I began by singing. Then Sakode came on the scene 2008. It was so cool. Mm. I just felt like, okay, I want to be able to do this. And guess what? I don't speak Chi, you know?
At all?
I couldn't speak Chi at that time.
At that time, okay.
And I think I had just completed JHS. So like I'll come to Accra and like spend the vacation with my cousins, my auntie.
Okay.
And then everyone was on the Sakode wave. Everyone was rapping like, hey, you hear this one? The next one you do today, you do someone before I do my FM. It was crazy. It was like everybody's just like recording and just trying to learn, you know. So I'm like, why am I being left out? So early in the morning, my cousin would just sit me on our reservoir in the morning, just looking at the planes, and he'd be teaching me like obedeme demuka.
Oh, breakdown.
Then I just like did a lot of practice, and so I had three of the raps. When I went to Bishop Herman, boom, I was a champion, bro.
Hey, everybody like, was like,
yo, you go free rap? I'm like, yeah, which one? I go, then I just give it to them. I just give it to them. It's like, everyone's like, whoa.
So that's when, right?
You know, yeah. That's when like, yeah, it really like I had a lot of adrenaline in me. I was like, I'm doing this shit, man. I started to write raps and yeah.
Yeah, but like, why did you like give that up?
I'm changing. When I got into the commercial world, like I was just looking at it like, bro. And I was in a group too.
Yeah, I was gonna ask.
I was in a group.
What was the name of the group?
It's called Bells.
Bells.
Yeah.
So where you got all singers?
Yeah, we were both singers.
Oh, you were just two people?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We were both singers. And because I could rap, we decided to just, he would sing and I would rap. So it was more like an R2B type of situation where, you know.
You met the Mugees.
He was Mugees.
You know, he was Mugees and you were.
And I was like, Sakode, you know, like, bop, like let's say Payday, but I was rapping like Chi, you know, and all of that. So that's what it was. But at some point, like, you know, I realized the priorities were like different, you know, and my brother had an ambition to be an S.
Oh, okay.
You know, so he would be taken away, you know, be in the hospital. Mm. And, you know, so we were not getting like more of him and all of that. So I decided to just start training myself to sing just in case, like, he wasn't around. I could actually fit in. Yeah. And
so are you telling me that at first you couldn't sing and you trained yourself?
Honestly, yeah. I was
insane.
Not.
Because you have quite the voice.
There's no, I think that passion has a, like, it's a secret. Like, passion can really get you to do stuff even more than the people that are actually, like, talented in that field. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's me.
That's what you believe.
Yeah. So when I love something, I'll just give it my all. Mm. Rehearse over time, work over time, and I become very perfect at it. Yeah.
I know you grew up in Ho.
Yeah.
How did your early days in Ho affect your artistry? Like, what kind of things do you see in the music that you do, your sound and everything, that you can definitely say, oh, my time in Ho is like what
influences? Not really, but it would be, I think, because in Ho I was staying on Ola Girls campus, you know. I was a bungalow.
Oh, your mom was a teacher.
My mom was
there.
A teacher over there, so it's like I was surrounded by girls, you know. So I think it really did affect or like influence me in making a lot of love songs.
Oh, the subject matter of your
music. It really like did influence me making a lot of love songs, like, you know, heartbreak, all of them stuff. Like, I think.
Wait,
that,
what was the correlation though? Like, you grew up on a campus with a lot of girls.
The thing is,
a lot of relationships.
I was not really, but it's like I was really experiencing girls receiving letters and girls telling their stories of how this guy in Bishop Herman. And at that time, I wasn't in Bishop Herman yet.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's like, oh, there's this guy that, you know, and girls were pairing with Bishop Herman Boys, you know?
Is that their boys' school?
That's the boys' school.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? So it's like, I was really surrounded by those stories. Like, oh, this is the boyfriend. She just received a lot of letters. She received a lot of gifts. All of them stuff. And, oh, the guy was seen with another girl and all of them. So it's like, these things really did affect me. And I was really like exposed because I was, my mom had this like petty trading situation going on. It's like selling water, chamois, and all them stuff. So like I would always like be there
helping her.
To sell. So it's like I was really, you know, face to face with the situation every time, you know. So I guess that's just where like that inspiration came from. And I had to really just tap back into like whom I truly am and just move away from that. You know, so I wouldn't really like, I make love songs, but it's like, I don't really like, I try to tap into like me being like a hustler, you know, and make.
But I mean, you also do put a lot of like, ewe in your, yes. your music.
Yes.
So I would say that that's like the indicator.
Of who?
Yeah. What do you think?
Nah, it's just, I think it was just a conscious effort. You know, okay. I think it was just a conscious effort to really just like, cause I really do believe that I can take it to the world. Mm-hmm. You know, because then if I don't do it or if no one starts, who's going to take it to the world? You know, there's an opportunity for something to like, you know, blossom on the global stage. So it may be you. So that's why I just give it that.
Like, it always sounds so sexy when it's sung.
Yeah, I get like, that a lot from
people. The way you sing it, it just...
I get that a lot.
It's on par with French. You know how like people say romantic language is French. It's like on par, you know, when you're... So how did you... finally make, because I kind of know the story anyway, but I want you to tell it how you made it to Accra.
Yeah, Accra.
I know there was
tell me the one that you know.
What
tell
I know, me, okay, yeah, what I know me. Is that there was a big man who gave you his number.
Yes, sir.
Because he believed in you and he was like, if you need any help, let him know.
Yeah.
And then later you
were.
Oh,
you've been following. Or did you go and watch my interviews or what?
Oh, I've been doing a lot of So yeah, I think you said you and your friend in the group.
Yep.
So you wanted to come to Accra.
Yep.
And then your mom was like, no, you don't know the person.
I was like, bro, you know, Accra people are killing people, the sakawa going on. Why do you want to do that? And so it's like, basically. I just decided to not listen to my mom and I just came to Accra. I think you know, so that is it.
Did that put any kind of strain on your relationship with your mother? Like you just coming to Accra?
Me and my mom, bro, like me and my mom quarrel the most, man. Me and my mom disagree and quarrel the most. But I don't care about anything except my dreams, bro. Like that's the truth, you know? I don't care about anything except my dreams because I feel like I want to be able to be there for people or for my family and my loved ones, but I can't do it if I don't like achieve my goals.
Yeah.
You know, cause like the music would give me the money, would give me like the exposure, everything that I need, you know, to be able to like take care of people. You know, so, and I love to take care of people. So it's like, I really just like disagree with you and like get a fuck out just so I can go get it and come.
Do you think she understands that now?
She does. She does 100%.
I see. There was a period in your career where you were doing covers.
A lot.
You're just doing covers. What was your favorite cover that you ever did?
Favorite cover would be me at Sharon.
You're gonna have to sing it though, so I'm just saying.
My God, I cannot sing it because like the thing about me is if I don't rehearse something in a very long time, I forget.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've literally done every song's cover. Like that's crazy. Every song I hear and I love, I do it. So it's like just this dawn, I was on my SoundCloud because like my old SoundCloud. So I was like, I'm thinking of. Because there's a bunch of songs that I've recorded right now that I haven't put out. And I don't think they're going to come out.
Why?
So I'm like, I might as well just like put it on SoundCloud.
Oh, so, but are you going to tell us what the SoundCloud is so that we can go and check it out? Or that one's also like...
I think if you look for...
Fingers.
If you look for Camito.
Camito.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if you look for Camito, I think you'll find it.
I see.
Yeah, okay. But I'll post it. I think I'll post it. I'll post
but,
it.
But which Ed Sheeran song?
It would be Shape of You.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Shape of You. I did Shape of You. It was like very nice instrumental. So media. Once I listen to the instrumental and I'm loving it, I'll just do my thing.
Yeah,
that's me.
Do you play any instruments though?
I can play the keys, but I cannot play live. Does that make sense? I produce. So it's like I'll always I know how to figure my way out and make the beats with the keyboard. I can play chords and all of that. Like I create.
But I'm sure if you challenge yourself, you can do it.
I wanted to, but I just started feeling lazy. I was like, bro, like no one is going to tell me do like this.
Here's the laziness that you're talking about.
So I'm lazy with saying things that my mind already tells me I can't do it. I'm grown, bro. Just leave this shit for the kids, man. And I'll just like leave it.
Oh man. So in 2018, you put out My Lover. In fact,
For My Lover.
For My Lover.
Yeah.
This is when I heard about you.
Yeah.
For My Lover. Because around that time, you know, Darko Vibes was also like,
Doing
and it's interesting because Darko Vibes was popping up and he was very like gah with his music and then you too with the airway.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of the best songs. I remember it was stuck in my head all the time. And what I really like, because I'm not, you know, I grew up Ashanti, so I didn't know a lot of the Ewe foods.
Yeah.
And so I learned it because of that song. Agbometadi. I kept asking my Ewe friends, what is Agbometadi? Yes, what is this?
Yes, sir.
How did that record come about?
Man, like my best records come out from me being like lonely. My best records, I make my best records. Like that's data. You know what I'm saying? Like
me. What do you mean by being lonely? Like you're alone?
Me going back and like looking at, oh, how did this come about? How did this come about? I'm looking at it like, oh, okay. So it's like when it's like a difficult time.
Mm.
So For My Lover was like, I had separated from the group.
Okay.
And I separated from the group in 2017, December 24th.
Hey, come on, direct dates.
And then, so it's like, I was trying to figure myself out. How am I going to do this? Like, people know me as a group. Do you think that if they, how am I going to position myself on stage? I'm used to like singing and sharing like chorus and all of that. So it's like, how am I going to do this shit? So it's like, I was really trying to like figure my shit out at that time, you know? And one evening, so it's like into 2018, one evening, I think I had a very terrible cold. And so I was really battling. And I already told you, like, I battled insomnia. So it's like, I couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, I might as well just put this energy and make some beats.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. So I made the beats. And I was like, okay, this is sounding good. Who am I? Do I have to wait 3 days after my cold is gone or what?
To record, yeah.
I got to do this shit right now. So I just did it. So I recorded a song that night and that was it. It sounded good. I was like, cool. So I was playing it. And then one of my friends, I think it was more of my friend, Fatima, she came to visit and she was like, oh, I'm going to the bank. Do you want to go with me? So I sat in the car and I was playing. I was like, let me play my new record that I made. I was playing at the record. She was like, started doing videos. Like, look at my friend, Rafael Camido. He's so good. Oh my God. You know, so after everything, I was like, can you give me that video? So I posted it on my IG, you know, because at that time, there was no structure. There was no like rules and shit. Yeah, so I was like, I just posted it on my IG. And then a day from 3FS, he called me. I was like, Omo, which song be that? Just make him. Bring him, mix him. You know, so.
Also was like, not mixed, not mastered, nothing. No, wow.
Just like rough mix by myself. I was like, oh yeah, bring him, make him, mix him. That song good, though. It's sweet, though. You know,
he's Nigerian.
Yeah, he's Nigerian, and it's one of my real ones that I've had in my corner, man. He's really been there for me, you know. So I respect him a lot. So yeah, so I took the song to him and mixed it, and then guess what? Around that same time was when I linked up with one of my friends that I went to Bishop Emma with.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, bro, not knowing he was telling like our friends. So we're all from Aplau, right?
Okay,
and like they've just like reside in the same area, you know, hustling. So she's like, every day he's telling these guys, like, bro, you feel so you know some artists. Me, I get artists for you where he bad past everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, he's always hyping me. And so it was around that time that I got the opportunity to go meet them. So I went to the house and everyone was like, oh, this be the guy. Okay, you know.
Why? Yeah. Why were they saying that? Why were you wearing?
Yeah, because it's like, bro, like life was really hard, man. And you know, I look back at my Snapchat like 2018, but you see my head, bro. Like, you know, so it's like I met them and then I was, so what I'll do is every evening I'll go there and boys were always around each other. It's like everyone is doing their thing. It's like, so my music is always on a replay.
Oh, okay.
And I had a bunch of songs that I recorded. So it's like, oh. Hey, play me that one again. Hey, when you finish, play this one. That one where you do, they talk about this, then play that one. And so I just keep playing and everyone was like, this song, the B.O. For My Lover. Like, it'd be B.O. And I joke like, we just had a conversation. It's like, Charlie, I think we should feature Darko Vibe, you know? And one of the guys is like, yo, Payday be my friend. Me and Payday be cool. So, more go see him.
Okay.
So it's like we went to visit PD, and you know, and that's just how he made the whole Darko Vibes collaboration happen. And then so it's like at that time I really did not have any direct, you know, smooth relationship with Darko Vibes. You know, he wasn't a game. I wasn't in the game. You know, and you know, so it's like I got the feature. I'm like, okay, cool. I got it. It's cool. You know, like I wouldn't really like want to chase relationship if it's not happening organically, because naturally that's the kind of person I am.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, so that's how we made a song. We made a video.
Yeah.
And for some reason, man, that shit just changed. Like everything has changed. Like girls would be like sending me, the people send me snap. Like I just, yo, this person is playing your song. Go and check the Snapchat. You know, and Haja Faro just like played a bunch of times. And
wow.
Man, like the way it happened, it was so organic and it was so divine. And I'm just like, thank you.
What did that change bring though? Like now more people know you, they are mentioning your name, people are tagging you and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's very immediate. So I know that at that point, it hasn't brought financial change yet.
No, not at all.
So what was that like?
Not at all. Like, and me and my brother, like we would just, we said, yo, you know what? Like the song is playing now. We have to get on the road. Like, let's go. You know, so we're just like, he was just like, surf the internet and look for like radio stations. Oh, I want you to interview my boy. You know, and so we would every morning it's like go get him from his house, or he would come to my house and pick me at 6 a.m.
This is your friend.
Yeah, that's like my friend, you know, Hova.
Okay.
So it's like he would get me from the house and we'd just go to some weird ass place. Going to do some
interviews.
Internet radio. Okay. You know, one of those ones, like it's not really like a major radio station.
You have
just
to stream it online.
We're going everywhere, we're just trying to like bucking every nook and cranny, like going everywhere, just trying to make sure like we promote the song. Like we have to put a face to the song. Just like people knew the record.
Yeah.
And the record was actually traveling. Because around the time, Haja Faro was like, you know, she was
very
like,
popular
already
online,
like popular.
Yes.
So it's like when she posts a song, people from like Equatorial Guinea, the song was entering their top 100. So I was going everywhere, was like, bro, this is it. It's happening. And it's like, we had to go. And that's just how we got on the road and was just like pushing, chasing everybody. And one of the guys who we also found that really, really helped us a lot was Rev Eskin.
Oh, you know? Eskin, why
yeah,
ask him?
Rev Eskin. Like, you know, because it's like, I had, in a group, we had this man that used to like support us a lot, pump money and all of that, you
is
know
it the same guy that brought
Mr.
you
Mr. Victor, yes,
okay,
you know, and he would always like support us with money and everything, but it was not translating in the fame. Does that make sense? It's like people like we're doing like we're going to perform, it's like, oh, I can get him to perform here, I can get him, but what Rev did was like he and I guess it's like this man is a busy man, you know, so and he has his business like football, you know, so he would just like give us the money and, you know, get someone to help you, you know, and but at the end of the day, it's the beginning. So you can't always blame people, you know? So Rev Eskin, what he did was he'd be like, he's going to connect us to these people who can play our record. So for example, it's like YFM, you say, okay, Killer Fingers is the head of DJs. So meet Killer Fingers. These are my boys, you know, blah, 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 whatever needs to be done. Listen to the record. If it's good, you want to put it in a playlist. What, like, you know, so that's what he did. And that really helped us to be able to have relationship, like, or know people who to call. And, you know, so
that's, really
that's when we started getting on, like, mainstream.
Rev Eskin, Radio YFM. So at which point did you decide to get management? Because at this point, you are talking about how, like, your friend is helping you. It's like just people that...
So that was the management. That's when it began. So my friends, so it's like my management is me and my friends.
They were your management?
Yeah. So we just began. So when, when I met and we started doing this, Hova was like really, he was really into it. You know, other people had other businesses like they were doing. So it's like, we love this and this is our brother. Let's push him. But who's going to be there to be his manager? And Hova decided to, you know what? Actually, I'll put everything aside and focus on managing this.
How long did you do that?
Oh, we've been doing that from 2019.
I see.
Yeah. We've been doing that from 2019 because I think... We met in 2018, somewhere August, and we're planning, trying to like, blah, 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 blah. So we finally released the song officially December 20th, 2018. So it's like in 2019, I guess officially we had that whole thing going on, registered a company, and, you know.
Is it the Grind Don't Stop?
Grind Don't Stop, that's it.
That's your company?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. With your friends, okay. Yeah. No, but I know you worked with George Brighton for a while.
Yeah, no, that would... George Britton came later.
Later?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see.
I think it came somewhere 2020, 2021.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then after For My Lover, I think your next big moment was definitely Sugar King.
Did I have another song? We dropped a couple
songs. You had a couple of songs. I mean, you had a song with Kwesi Arthur.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, actually, we did have Maria.
Maria.
We did have Maria, which was like, actually, like
it was.
Yeah, was a good follow up. Was good.
Wow, I don't know.
Yeah, we did have Maria. We did have Available.
Okay.
Did you know Available?
No. Wait, if you sing it, maybe.
Did you know Maria?
OMG Maria. Oh, I know it.
That one.
Yeah.
And then we did I'll Be Available.
Yes, yeah. I know that one too.
We did that one. And then we did a bunch of songs.
Records.
Oh, actually, did a bunch of songs. Like I did not like music.
I remember the available one a lot. I know.
Yeah.
You know what it is? I'm not even gonna lie. And I've seen a lot of people say this. I think that you do get a lot of he sounds Nigerian. Yeah. And so sometimes when I hear music and in my mind it's a Nigerian person, I just enjoy it.
Yeah.
But if I know it's Ghanaian, then I'll go and follow it.
Yeah.
But like, why do you think that? Because I was reading somewhere where you said you had a code when you were doing Sugar Cane. You just said right now that you had a code when you did
Sugar Cane. Wasn't a code. I was actually going through a hard time. It's more like depression. I don't want to call it depression because like depression is actually a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I wasn't going, it was not, you it was not that bad for me. I was down.
You were down.
You know, and more so was because I just put out Dance With You.
With Kwesi Arthur.
And the song, I was like, bro, like I'm really giving it everything. You know, and this is not really like.
You think it didn't perform how you wanted it to?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm. You know, I guess so. And so I was not really feeling it anymore. I was like, bro, I'm putting in so much energy.
What, did you feel like quitting?
No. Okay. Never a time have I felt like I want to quit making music. Like, nah. You know, so I guess it was because of that. So Sugarcane was that. But For My Lover was the cold.
I was going to ask if maybe the nasal thing is what everybody's saying is Nigerian.
No, I guess my sound was really different. I sounded very different. When I came on in a game, I sounded very, very different.
Mm.
Yeah. And I guess because of the influences, the musical influences that I had, I was listening to like different stuff. You know, me and Neptunes would like always listen to Nigerian sounds, European sounds. Like, you know, we had very weird, like, you know.
You use weird a lot. Why?
Yeah, because like, if the thing is not the common or the regular one being done, then it's weird.
Yeah, but these days, you know, individuality is kind of like a thing now.
I understand.
So I don't know. Like, it's not weird. It's just your thing.
I understand.
That's how I would say it.
We Stay Real is more than just a slogan. It is a promise. At Fika Tea House, we use fresh ingredients from farm to straw boba, real fruit to house-made syrups, loose leaf tea, and real milk. No preservatives, no nasties. Just pure natural deliciousness in every sip. Besties, we are more than just amazing bubble tea. The Fika Tea House is a place to connect with friends, enjoy your finger-licking snacks, and a serene green space. So immerse yourself in the ultimate bubble tea experience. Open your favorite maps, ride-sharing, or menu finder delivery app, and enter Fika Tea House, F-I-K-A, Tea House, you can spell it, to get directions, order a ride, or have your new favorite bubble tea and snacks delivered straight to you. Fika Tea House. We Stay Real.
Sugar Cane.
Yeah.
So you're feeling down because the record with Kwesi Arthur didn't do how you thought it was going to do.
Yeah.
So what motivation did you take into making Sugar Cane?
The motivation has always been like listening to like the beats and how it makes me feel. I'm like, ooh, I like this shit.
Oh, so you got the beat first.
And then I just want to record.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I actually like, I was in a session with Pat Rankin. Mm-hmm. He was in Ghana making his, I think he was having a session with a bunch of like producers. So I met Phantom from there. So we connected. And then I think the next day I went to his house. And the next one again, I went to his house. And yeah, so playing some beats. It's like, let's work on something. Started playing Sugar Cane. And I think we made Sugar Cane under 2 hours, bro.
Wow.
Boom, 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 boom.
One day, really fast. Like, everything.
Yeah.
I see.
So it's just how the record, like the beats is making me feel. So it makes me want to sing. Then I sing. And then it's like, oh, the song is so nice. Then I'm like, okay, you know.
So when it was done, did you like know that this was going to be that record that was going to change?
To be very honest, I feel like that about a bunch of my records. And so it's like sometimes you see me like and I look very down, like, and it's only because I feel like a bunch of my records should be glow, like should be big like that, you know. It's like I feel it, you know. And so I know I'm not crazy, you know. Yeah. I know I'm not crazy. It's like I'm like, so you find me always working. Just last night, my brother was warning me. He's like, bro, you need to turn off your phone and sleep. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, you do.
And I'm like, the problem is that I always have this anxiety, and I feel like the moment the time I'm sleeping could have been another big moment. Because guess what? My moments come from like the pain.
Right.
Like my big moments come from the pain. So it's like, I want to put in something. Does that make sense? Like, I'm like, how about I'm sleeping and then I could have been
doing something that would change.
One thing I hate to do is like vibe to a beat and not record it because it's going to worry me. I can't sleep. I'm sleeping and like it's playing in my head. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I want to say this. I want to say that. So it's like, I want to make sure that's the reason why I always have a studio in my house wherever I go.
So you have to do it instantly in that moment because you feel like you snooze, you lose. This is the moment. Ah, I see.
And I don't remember melodies. And I feel lazy recording my melodies.
On your, couldn't you just?
I don't want to do that.
Really? Camilo, I feel like you like
I will record the melodies, but I will never refer to them. Does that make sense? I'm the straight from the dome type of person. I'm the straight from the head. Like, that's who I am. So I don't like to like, I'm like, I know they go there. Oh, guy, I'll go create another melody.
I see.
I'm not saying it's a good thing.
I'm just saying. Like, neither am I.
My shit. You know? And that's what makes me feel good. And so sometimes if I have another creative there, they will prompt me and be like, bro, like that one, do it. And sometimes they press on and I do it. But if I'm left to myself, trust me.
Do you mostly create alone?
Yeah, mostly.
Is it because you do not like the involvement?
I like it.
You like it?
I actually like it, but I'm a very fast recorder. I work very fast. Okay. So Ade will always tell people, like when I'm meeting somebody, Ade was just like, guy, if you want to work with Camilo, like, because a lot of people be like, oh, you know, they like the way I work, they like me, they want to work with me. Ade always tell you, like, bro, Camilo, he's very fast, and you have to be very fast if you're working with him.
Yeah, because you know, most artists that I know I've spoken to, when you ask them about like making a song, the process and everything is always, you know, over a period of time, labor of love.
No.
But you are like,
me, I don't do that. And that's when I knew that there are no rules, because like people tell you, take your time, you know, go back. And I know they do like that.
I see.
The most I can do is like play the record, record the song, bounce, put in my car, take a drive, and maybe like,
is that the test? The car test is
hang around my brothers, play the record, like, this is good. I'm like, then my brother will probably say, okay, there's something that I think you should bring it to the beginning. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, I'll try it, you know, because I always miss some moments. I always miss some moments. So
someone's going to catch it and tell you.
Yes, I allow that, you know, room for like the people I believe know, you know, what I can do. And, you know,
before we talk about like the crazy features that you got on Sugar King, because I just wanted to talk briefly about your hair. You had a whole green hair moment and now you're here and I'm seeing that you're, you know.
Yeah, I actually want to go bald now.
You want to go what?
Bald.
Why?
I don't know.
This is really nice though.
I'm in a space of like letting it go, man. Like I used to hold on to that green, bro. Like,
the green, what was it? What was the green about?
Because the idea of doing it was just because when I was coming in the game, a bunch of people had dreadlocks.
Oh.
And I just want to stand out. Because I'm like, I'm not about to face this whole tragedy of like, oh,
who else has locks like that?
Are you familiar? Oh, no. Are you?
What the fuck, bro? It's true. You know, Fireboy and Joe Boy.
Exactly.
People are always confusing them. It's true. Yeah.
Uh-huh, that one. Which boy be this?
Which of the boys?
Like, who be this? I don't say be some boy. Like, you know.
I see. Not maybe that. I see. So you just wanted to stand out.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I just, and also because of like my background of marketing. So I was like, oh,
yes,
stand out.
You studied marketing in uni, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. So did you have A&R help or you sat down or this came to you like Darko, King Promise? I think, was it Mayokun?
Mayokun,
yeah. How did you get the features on the...
I think that God has just blessed me with the gift of everything, music, you know? I didn't do it by myself. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, like, you know, I actually arranged the song, you know, and because when they sent their verses, I arranged the song. I arranged the verses, you know. But the thing is, I think that my team, obviously everyone contributed. Everyone said, oh, yeah, this one is dope, blah, 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 you know. But it happened. It was meant to happen. Because when I was about to do the remix, when we're about to do the remix, I was just discussing with my distributors. One of the phone was like, oh, who do you want to have? And we're able to get this person. I'm like, I want someone who's really going to love the record. You know, I want someone who's actually fucking with the record and wants to do it. Because I was so tired of like doing collaborations that I had to beg.
You've had a lot of those?
To like, you know, to just have an organic vibe with the song, with the people. You know, it's like, I'm asking for something and like, I'm like, well, like, it's giving, we're not friends, bro. We just did a song. You know, it's giving that. So it's like, I was not about to do that with Sugar Cane. So that's one thing I put across. So later, like, Mayor Kun, it came back that Mayor Kun was fucking with it. He wanted to do it. And and then I think we're shooting the original song video. And then my distributor, Fangs, he said, he's good friends with King Promise at that time. And I think they started working together. He was working with King Promise. So he was like, let's stop by King Promise's apartment and, you know, holla. And he also, and then King Promise expressed
interest,
you know, interest in the song. Like, if you guys are down, then yeah. Because he's like, oh, that song is dope. I'm like, thank you, you know. So he went out and then he called Fangs. Was like, oh, he actually has a verse for the song. So yeah, let's come around and then he will record it. So everything just happened organically
yeah.
And it was nice. Darko, same way. She sent the verse through my friend David. You know, my friend has a record label called D Global Entertainment. So he's friends with a bunch of musicians. So yeah.
I see you have a lot of like-minded friends, people that have the same interests as you. Yeah. Do you believe that like this kind of support system is very influential in you like being able to do what you do?
Definitely. Definitely, 100%. Ghana is not a place where creatives do make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're coming up. It's always going to be, Moku give out some spotlight. Moku give out the opportunity to make it come. You know, so it's always about that. And so it's like, you don't really make money. So if you have friends who would really see your talent and say, you
support
know what,
it, yeah.
I'm going to support you with this, I support you with that and all of that. That's how it happened for me. You know, I had friends who really sacrificed maybe money. They'll probably go and used to like, spread some girl somewhere and, you know, have a good time. They'll probably, yeah. They probably sacrificed it for me and do some business or whatever it is, sacrificed it for me. So it's like, I'm big on like, you know.
Friendship.
Yeah, I'm big on real friendship.
Real like, friendship. Like,
yeah, friendship that, you know, comes with like value.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I want to talk about, the, you know, already, so For My Lover was big.
Yeah.
Sugar Cane, bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, BET nominations. Mm-hmm. So you're on that red carpet. Like,
yeah.
What was that era like for you? Because it's like you are becoming more popular.
Yeah.
And you've said so many times you want to be a global star.
Yeah, that is what I want.
Man. Yes. What was that era like? Like, you were at the BET Awards. What is it like inside? All of that happening to you at the same time. You were big in Nigeria. I mean, you were even on Ijola Balaba remix.
Yeah.
Like, what was that era like? Adapting to that level of exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, we have not had any moment like that in Ghana music, you know? As like, we've not had the moments like that. Myself, I had not experienced a moment like that. We may have, actually we did have, not, I'm not, because I know how people would translate.
Yeah, he's not saying I'm the first person.
So I'm saying we've not had a moment like that,
yeah,
you know, in music. So it's like, everything happening was like a learning, it was a stage for me, like I was learning. So some of the mistakes I made, now I know better. It's like.
You made mistakes?
Obviously.
In that era?
Don't say that. Come on, man. Everybody, you're going to make mistakes. Like, maybe if you took a decision and it did not end well, you'll be like, oh, okay, then, oh. Then you now find out that, oh, it's happened to a lot of people and this is the best way to handle it. You know what I'm saying? At the BETs, like, it was, I think I really did grab the opportunity, you know, by the head, like I said, grab the bull by the horn, like proper, because it's like, I was not about to miss out on anything. So it's like, it was really expensive, you know, it was very expensive, but I was like, yeah, let's do it, you know, because at the end of the day, like scared money don't make no money.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay. I have always, my team and I, we've always believed in like investing. You know, and making it look good, making it like pop so that, you know, yeah. So at the BETs and all of that, I was always just like tapping in. If I got an opportunity, if my manager came back and said, oh, these people want to have you, these people want to have, I'm like, let's do it all. Do you understand? Cause I'm like, I'm not about to miss out on anything. So yeah. And then I'll just do it all. And I think the next year after my nomination year, I actually attended again because we had the invitation, and then we attended again just so, you know, we could get exposed. And that's when I found out that, bro, like half of the Nigerian industry, they live in LA, they live in like, you know, Hollywood. Yeah. They invest to learn the game, you know. And that's when I found out that, bro, like it's not all about being in your country. You know,
Sarkodie did an interview recently, yeah, and he was talking about how, like, every time that he's gone on those kind of award shows and he's on the carpet, he feels alone.
Yeah.
But the Nigerian artists, they are media people out there. You know,
Nigerian artists, like, they've been friends with this guy for a long time. He's meeting, like, Will Smith is like, oh, my guy, Charlie, how fun. Like, they are talking like, so you know Will Smith?
Yeah.
You know, that. You know, so, like, you know, you're like, God damn, like, we have to do more work. You know, so... And I think that around that time when I came back to Ghana and then I did a few like activities, and then the reception was just some type of way, and I just like get pissed.
What type of way?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll just go and do, I think I did a show one time, and then like the translation of the show on TV was sounding shit, bro. And I'll just get pissed. I'm like, bro, you know how much we are spending to like, you know, build our shit? And then it's like, you know, but someone's like, hey, calm down. This is Ghana. This is what you're gonna get.
Oh,
calm down, you know? But at that moment, you have tasted this one. And so it's like, bro, I cannot tolerate this shit. Mm. It's like a woman who had been with a man who like has been like top standard, you know, treat her like, you know, and you the calm, you said, you know, they even think I'll go date. You don't even go dinner with the girl. Every day you just want to chop the girl. All right. You know? So it's like, it feels like the bare minimum self, you know, to do. I mean, she's gonna like, you know, be angry and all of that shit. So that's just how it was. So I just looking at it like, bro, we need a lot more investment. And that was what it was for me. Like, I loved the moment, bro. Like, the red carpet was smashed. Like, after the event, the after parties, performing from stage to stage, like, oh, can Camilo do a performance here? I'm like, I'll do it. I'll do it. Just doing everything, you know? And at some point I was like, bro, I think I need to learn to come back here and like stay for a while, you know, because the opportunities were there and the Nigerian investors were there and all of that. So that really opened my eyes to the business, you know?
So, I feel like you went away for a while, and I have been privy to like conversation where people be like, oh, Camilo didn't really use, you know, when he hit the big beat and all, he disappeared. He didn't really take advantage of that. Have you heard some of those conversations? Have you seen them online?
Man, like people talk, you know what I'm saying? People talk
is cheap and free and what?
Yeah, people talk, but. Yeah, at the end of the day, like that's what I said. Like, if you make some mistakes later, you sit back and be like, so now from those mistakes, people would think you did not. But here, I mean, I'm telling you, like, I was literally doing everything, you know. Right. But someone also feels like
you didn't. And, but what? Why were you away?
The reason of that space would be that you can't do it alone. You need help, you know. And if you don't have help, it's only so much you could do, and then you'll break down. Okay. You know, it's like, okay, now there's no money. It's like you're doing it, forgetting that, you know, you need like to fuel the car to keep going. So it's when you get to a spot. Now I'm actually just giving an example.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, but for me, I don't even know what happened. Like, it was just, I think that I had issues with family.
Okay. Like,
and it was almost seeming like I was being selfish. Like, where I was just taking my career
more important than anything,
prioritizing else. Just my career. And then so at some point it was getting to me, because it's like, okay, I understand, like, yo, but you people have to understand that I have to do this to be able to like cater for that. You know, so it's like when issues from other aspects of your life start like building up and building up, it gets to a point where you have to like take a pause and fix these things, you know, before you get back. Because truly, your family or your backbone, like, that is when you die, where are you going? Well, you know, these are your family. And if anything happens to you, these are the people that will, you know. So I had to really like take a pause and try and fix like things.
Did you have a plan like for how long you were going to be away?
I did not have a plan. That's the thing. Life would happen, and sometimes you don't even have a way to, you don't have a plan. You cannot. So as you wake up every time, you figure it out. You know, you figure it out. And plus I had like anxiety, so it's like you can imagine trying to like fix it all.
The anxiety comes from where?
I don't even know.
Or what is the anxiety about?
I don't even know. I think that it would be me not wanting to fail. Like, you know, it's like I can't fail, you know. So it's like I would always just be giving it my all.
It's a lot of pressure.
At some point, bro, like you step on toes and, you know, a couple of things would just happen. And then, yeah, so.
Next thing we heard from you was NLF.
Oh, yeah.
Love the song, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a real thing that happened
to you?
Oh,
yeah, it was a real thing. Like, it was a real thing. It was a real thing. And I'm dramatic. Like, I was trying to really just like make the story very relatable. So I tried to like bring in my real life situation to like, you know, do the whole PR just so people could really connect. But it was no more about like lying for clouds. Nah, I was really just like giving it the reality to the people, just so like I could really, they could really connect directly. Mm-hmm. You know, I was telling people like being vulnerable, like literally, and doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was dope.
You know, I you're one of the artists that we don't really see out in the blogs and all of that.
Yeah.
And
thank God for that, man.
We do. Yeah. You know, Jackie was saying recently in that interview that the reason why she doesn't go out is like the fit.
Bless her for mix up,
yeah, just a little, just stay it a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. The fear of being perceived negatively on the internet, because if you step somewhere, people post you, someone's always going to find something.
I don't feel like that no more, though.
You don't feel like that anymore?
Nah.
So you're going to be outside?
Now, the thing is, I'm saying the fear of being perceived negatively, it's been a problem, like for all
you.
Of us.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It's like a bunch of us, like, you know, people, and so you end up explaining.
Mm-hmm.
Explain. Like, you know, that's what happens.
But you don't care
like,
anymore.
You come to realize that. And the whole Young Tax situation, I was just watching and I was, and before the Young Tax situation, my brother's like told me, it's like, yo, actually, there's nothing like when you are being spoken about in a negative way or in a good way, it's good for you. Because with the work that we're doing, good press, bad press, press.
Mm, you know, that's debatable.
Do you know what I'm saying?
The bad press thing.
Oh, the funny thing is that it's funny. Because like, but when I was back then, I did not see it from that perspective. I did not see it like that, okay? And so it's like, I would always be mad at the fact that Shatawale is saying something ill about somebody and he's insulting somebody, right? And one time I actually made a statement and that really like came back to bite me, you know? And I had to like speak to him on the phone and all of that and we fixed it. But with time, I got to understand that really and truly like, it doesn't matter. You don't have to focus on the negative. Like, okay, if it's a negative press, you find a way as a human being to fix your problems. But don't worry about that, because that's not your path to worry about. It's going to work for you. Because at the end of the day, what you want is you want to be in the blogs. You want to be in the blogs. You don't get to decide you want to be for positive. Like, okay, I want to write wrong about you. And that's what I want to write about you. Are you going to call me on the phone and be like, oh, Mido, oh, you know, and yes, Anna, I didn't call you, Kafra. I don't know.
But you know, the thing about that though is like, you don't, the opinions of people, like people who don't walk a mile in your shoes, people who don't have any idea what it takes to be an artist on your level, put in the work, they have very cheap opinions. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to share these days. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another way to like not let
it. You don't have to. You don't have to really like make it get to you. It used to get to me. And I think it was a bad thing, because it was not good for me as an artist, because I had to really allow those things to flow. You know, I had to allow those things to flow. And then,
Right now, everybody's just looking for a cheap joke so that they would trend. So sometimes they don't even mean the stuff they're saying.
Exactly. That's anyway, the funny part.
So we're going to talk about your EP, Trust in God.
Yeah.
You have a very interesting story about Auntie Gifty,
yeah.
Dearly Departed. and how she helped you.
Yeah.
And the project that you scrapped.
Yeah.
So let's tackle all of that. So yeah, who is Auntie Gifty?
So one of my uncles died and I went for the funeral. Mm-hmm. So when I went for the funeral, you know, they was like family friends, I guess. And then they were like, there's this woman and her family. They were like, they're big fans of me and my music. And, you know, one particular one was so loved. Like, you know, when it's genuine, you could really see through the eyes, you know. So I gave her my number. I gave her my number and I asked her to, like, message me anytime. And me, like, you know, I always, like, start my day very late. So, yeah, I'll chance on her messages around 2 a.m., 3 a.m. and all of that. And I'll be like, oh, I'll reply tomorrow and then tomorrow coming, you know. So one time I replied her message and I was just telling her, like, in a voice note, I was like, that's how my life is. So you know, she should just pardon me if my replies don't
come.
Your late
replies, yeah.
Yeah, in time. And then the next day she sent me a voice note.
Oh, your brother. When you be mele easy now, I come and got you juice, yeah. Nya Thomas Sagum sometimes crafting our reheza. Na dunuha essena gakena for zuko. Na kodoma ye ye akwa we. Ken alone fia. I'm a bottle like pomolo. As by then, I'm your mimlania, when a lung will rehears our Gaka brother Aloma Gacuolo, and una jejino. Want to hana no but domda, mauta and you yoga, Jehua mauna naik blue.
And she said something. She said she understands, man. She knows, she can feel it. And she's just praying for me. She feels like I'm really going through a dark phase. And, you know, but I should not forget to pray. And, sometimes we ask God. God has asked us to ask Him and it shall be given, right? In the Bible, ask and it shall be given unto you. But yeah, sometimes when you ask and it delays, don't feel like God is forgotten. Like in His right time, everything will work out. And that was like the message that really struck me. Like, and that's when I decided to make the intro of the EP with that. And I had spoken to her about like a week before she left the world. And I told her, I was like, I have a surprise for you. She's like, hey, well, really? Oh, even if she hears me speak on the phone with her or like hears my voice, no, she's so happy and all of that. And I think she was battling, she had a dislocation, she was battling that. And I was talking to her on the phone. And so I planned that I was going to do an unveiling of the artwork because I had created the artwork from scratch. I designed it, you know, and I creative directed the shoot. So I said, you know, this had not been done before, so I was going to do it. I was going to do an unveiling. So I did that. And I planned that after the unveiling, I would actually like let her listen to the song. And then boom. Yeah, about 3 or 4 days to the unveiling is when I heard that she passed, you know. So I just felt like she was really like godly. The whole thing was very like, you know, godly and all of that.
Yeah, that message like really like. Yeah. I listen to it. I don't speak Ewe.
Yeah.
But I know there's a song called Mega Chiji Onyo Vivo. Mega Chiji. And I heard her say Mega Chi in there.
Yeah, Mega.
What does it mean?
Don't worry.
Okay.
Don't worry.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
And so you said you scrapped a project.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was meant to be my album.
Mm-hmm.
It was meant to be my album, and then I had a whole camp.
Okay.
You know, I had a whole camp in Ibri. You know, had to rent out a big space studio in Paradiso Studios. Had to rent it out for like about more than a week, like 2 weeks. Okay. You know, brought in creatives. Because I just felt like labels did that in Ghana. They came to Ghana and then they'll come and get creatives and then write for their artists and go back and, you know, release a song and still make money off us. Like, you know, so I was like, why don't I just do this for myself? Thing. You know, and so it was expensive, but I did it. And yeah, just when I was about to start releasing, there was like a bunch of like disagreements between myself and my team and then external team. There's a bunch of like life just started like, it's almost like a tornado.
Crazy.
Does that make sense? Like a fucking whirlwind, like coming to just smash everything. Yeah, it was really crazy. And
so,
it's like the whole of 2024, I literally released just one song off the album and I never really got to continue. Everything just got like, yo.
So it's all shelved.
Yeah, the records are there, but like I just didn't feel like releasing any record from there because I just felt like everything I dealt with, I wanted to make music. I love it when I make music from like real life experiences. Mm. Yeah.
And so you rather went in the direction of the trust.
Trusting God. So at that point, it was more like everything is smashed, everything is gone, everything is off, but all is not lost. Like,
have you always been like this tapped into your faith? Because I've seen you on different platforms, you know. You've been on Rants and Bands. There was even an interview where you were talking about smoking and you, you know, I've never really heard you talk about your faith.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, since you came back, every interview you have been hammering in. And so now you have Trust in God EP. And I'm just wondering, was there a switch that happened or, you know?
There was never a switch. It was just like getting back to my first love, which is God. Because like knowing that, like, not everything is of the physical, like, not like life really happens, like it or not, there are people that you sit with and eat with, but you disgust them in real life, you know. Knowing that, like, there are people who actually smile to you but go behind your back and be like, yo, take him off, you know what I'm trying to say? So it's like it or not, evil does prevail.
Yeah.
So and the only way you could really skip like their traps and their snares and all of that is to like be in the space with God, you know. So like, it's not like I was not like tapped in, but it's more like understanding that, oh my God, like when you're getting bigger, it's when the battles get tough. It's like when you actually fight the real battles. Like the ones they tell us, it's just like comic, it's like cartoon. But when you start getting successful, when you start getting bigger, and that's when you start to really see that, oh my God, like this is what they've been talking about. You know, so
is that the message of trusting God?
Yeah, it was just like, you know, I felt like all was lost. Do you understand? I just, at that point, I just felt like, how the fuck do I invest everything in this? And then it's like, nothing comes out. And like, it's like, time is passing by and then nothing, like, you know? So it felt like that. Like sometimes reality check, like you wake up and be like, oh my God, this is what is happening, you know?
Yeah.
And then you tap in and you know that like, it's fine, you're good. You know, all is not lost. You're actually good and you know, so.
You were just telling me that you released a different version of Trust in God.
Yeah.
Last week or so.
Yeah.
What is your favorite song on the EP?
Bro, I like all the songs, man. I can't even lie to you. Like, I like all the songs and, with a plus that I just dropped on Thursday, I think that I'm fucking with Bare Love.
Okay.
Bare Love more so because like the way I approached the record was different. Mm-hmm. Like I did two songs in one.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we see American rappers do that? Yeah. Like, and I've always wanted Missy to Elliott do it.
Switching.
Yeah, it's like Future and maybe Drake.
Oh, okay.
They would do like two songs in one. Travis Scott, like they would do two songs, like two instrumentals, like two different songs. Okay. It's like at 2 minutes, the first song is done, and then the beat switches, and then it's like there's another song, and it's still on that one track.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the way I approached it. I've always wanted to do that, and then I approached it like that, and I loved it. You know, I think the last person I saw did something like that was Wiz. Wiz did on the song with Brent, you know. So yeah, that I love that song. It's Bare Love is the last song on the EP, and I like it for the creativity that I explored.
So with your like, you know, your new direction and everything, when can we expect another album? And like what's going, because you know you are talented across different spheres.
Yeah.
And I'm just listening to you and I'm also wondering if you are aware that you can also do more than one thing.
Because
you're doing music videos, you actually produce and all of that. And so I'm just thinking, like, if I were you, I put all this money into this album, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I would like take off for the next 6 months and say, hey, what if I put all my energy into just making beats and producing or like, so I'm just wondering what's really
I think that one thing I know I have passion for right now is editing, like making films and then like making videos and editing.
What software do you use?
You know, bro, I just use CapCut.
Okay.
Yeah, I just use CapCut, the paid one, and just like I'm editing and I'm like, oh, I'm actually loving it and I'm actually learning. You know, so it's probably like maybe like grading it's what I would want to like, yeah, get into, but it's like, I don't have the time to be grading your video, bro. I have a career to chase. So it's like, I'll always shoot my content. Yeah, I always get like my guys to shoot my content. And then some of them, I'll be like, I want to edit it myself. Mm-hmm. And I'll edit it myself, you know, just so like, you know, I'm having fun along the line.
Yeah.
But I'm actually good right now. Like I'm actually happy and I'm allowing my inspirations to, I'm allowing myself to make music from all of my inspirations, you know. The other day I had like, there's this kid that I saw on TV and then I saw on YouTube and then I loved the song. So I actually DM'd him to send me the record and an open verse and I just did it. And then I just did the record and I'm like, oh, there's so much more I want to say, you know? So it's like, I'm allowing myself to like really tap into everything that I feel to make music. Yeah. I'm actually just cool. Like in that space right now.
Yeah. So we're wrapping up. What is that one thing that you want Ghanaians to understand about Kamido? Because the reason why I ask this question is, you know,
yeah,
Ghanaians just think everybody's supposed to be the same. Like they think we're a monolith.
That is a very
this cookie cutter Kofi and Ama.
That's a
and
very
so whenever you whenever you show any signs of being different,
they
just meet you with heavy critique.
No, cap.
So what do you want?
You know the game.
What do you want guys to understand about who Kamido is?
I'm a legend in the making. Like you know, I'm a legend in the making. I believe my abilities are extraordinary. You know, and I'm glad I haven't even really like try to like exploit all from the beginning because I was very naive and I was like young. And so I would have been taking crazy advantage of, you know, but now I know a lot and I'm learning and I'm allowing myself to tap into these things. So it's just a matter of time. Like, on the song that I did called Spiritual Talibans, I actually said it back then that I said like 6 years from now, like I was going to be like Bob Marley, you know, from that time I was going to be like Bob Marley and it's still on the path, like, you know, and all of the things that I deal with, I believe are going to shape me to become like a very, very extraordinary like artist. And bro, like I haven't even done my show. I haven't done, there's so much I haven't done and I only pray for life, you know, and good health because like what is going to come is really going to be super amazing. And I have all of the trust that God is like really going to like pull me there, you know? And I always just like learn from people like Burna Boy, seeing like all the things he had to deal with and, you know, just still like not forgetting what you are, like, you know? So I love his album. I told them a lot. I love it because it's like, yeah, I actually told you that I was going to do these things and I'm doing it right now, you know? So yeah.
Pretty dope. The last time that we spoke to you, I don't know if you remember, this was Washington, D.C. My producer, Kwame, spoke to you.
Oh,
they asked you how many eggs you can eat. And bro, you said 10 to 15.
Yeah, man. I could actually do more, bro.
You could do more? Like 20?
I could do more, bro. Don't play
with me. Hey, that's crazy. Anyway, guys.
Don't play with me, bro.
if we had thought about it, we should have had the eggs here.
Oh, and that's how actually that would have been sick.
That's how we end the episode with you trying to eat 20.
No, while we're doing the interview, we could just be eating.
Just be eating. It's true. And so, have an egg count.
Yeah. Me and my brothers, like, especially when we like go somewhere and we're all together, we just see the seller.
Yeah.
And they get an egg plenty. It was like, oh, I can't. Stand there.
Just pack.
Just
don't go anywhere.
They do, you go see, no, not the egg finish. Because we chop them all finish. And everybody end up, they chop like 10, 20,
you know what,
15.
Kamido,
like.
When you put out your next project, we'll come, we'll talk about just the projects and we'll have the eggs here.
Yeah, I think we should
I promise you should do that.
I think we should do that.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, that's our interview with Kamido. It's been really, really fun. Do you want to plug any of your socials?
Yeah, man. Follow me on my Snapchat, Fingers Kamido. Follow Kamido News because I think they're handling it now and they're like, dropping a bunch of like the stuff I don't put on my page. So yeah, do follow Kamido News, do follow Grind Don't Stop. And you know, and we have a new artist. He's called PB.
Okay.
PBEE. You guys should check him out. He's like an amazing, amazing talent. Like I'm so happy with the records that he's playing for us. And I know that you guys are going to love him. So please be on the lookout for PB. He's a fucking superstar, bro.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kamido, thanks for coming.
Respect, man.
Stick and stay. We're going to be back with the listener letters.
Plenty things where they happen in my life. I know it all. Feeling jolly as
when you go crazy, you go crazy. Every day wahala, our doctor, I hope you know be cancer. As I wake up today, if you go leak away, I chop. Nothing to confirm, I the call pastor. 626, we the try faster. Hit up, papa, up, up, we be praying for better days. So, feeling got dodgy. Monday slide in depression. Charlie make a no lie. Nothing way do me like this before. Feeling got dodgy. Killing me slowly.
On a methode.
All right, we're back. You know, it was very interesting talking to Kamido. Most of the times when I do interviews, it depends. Like, depending on the kind of person, when people come into the studio, I like to chit-chat because I don't want it to be so tense. But the thing, too, is, like, I don't want to give away the questions because we really like the elements of surprise because we really be digging deep to get the best. You know what I mean? And it's like, I fear that when I start talking, I'll be giving stuff away. So I try to talk about, if there are people who are, like, very chatty, we'll talk about other things about other than themselves. You know, there's some people you can tell they're very quiet. I'll tell you, Ajiti Adam was very quiet on set. Like, I feel like after the interview, he got a bit more chatty because of all the things that I discovered about him. But before, he was very quiet, you know, very professional. I say all this to say, it's very rare that people will like keep a conversation going after we've stopped filming. Like, they will interact with the crew and, you know, a few words, you know, but then, you know, then they have to leave. Kamido, like, the conversation kind of kept going on and you could tell there was a lot of passion in what he was saying. So it was really an interesting, encounter. And I hope that he enjoyed the conversation. He said he did. So I ask everybody, guys, we put a lot of work in, but I like instant review. I'm like, did you enjoy the conversation? You know what I mean? Because some people also come into these interviews and they always like have a little bit of reservation because of the kinds of questions they get asked on different platforms. And so we all have some people who be like, can we see the questions? And we're like, no, we don't do that over here. But trust me, you will not be disrespected. But anyway, all the best to Kamido. I'm following him. He's very talented. You know what I mean? So I'm following his career. We did this interview, I think, a couple of weeks back. So if there's any new thing that he's put out so far or something, I mean, it might be missing on there, but like, you know what it is.
What's up, Sincerities? We're looking for a new segment host, okay? So if you think you're about it, you got a great personality, and you know how to like really volley with people, this is your chance, okay? As a segment host, you're going to be going out doing vox pops, talking to people, asking the questions. You're going to be featured on the actual podcast episode and our social media. So listen, all you have to do is send a 60-second video, pick one hot topic of your choice, and give me your opinion on it. Hey, who said what, who did what, and what do you think about all of that? Send it to social@thegoldcoastreport.com with the title, Sincerely Across Segment Hosts. The deadline for this is November 28th. Seriously. We want everybody. Show us what you got.
All right, and that is enough on that. So look, it's time for us to get into this episode's cue music artist. Are you guys ready? Are you ready? Okay, let's get into it. So for this episode of the Sincerely Crowd Podcast, Q Music Edition, we're going to be talking to Elsie Rad. Yes. Have you heard of Elsie Rad? Do you know who Elsie Rad is? This is your chance to get to know her. She's a sick, dope artist. And one thing I'll tell you, visually, she always gives you something interesting to look at. The way she put up to the studio, if you're listening to this and you just want to give, just go onto our Instagram page. We are definitely going to put out a video version of this interview. And you're going to see it. You're going to see it. She was visually stunning. And I like artists that put in effort. You know what I mean? But anyway, let's not do too much talking. It's time for Elsie Rad on Q Music.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Q Music.
I saw the sunlight and I watched it appear.
Hi guys, my name is Elsie Rath and I'm a genre blending artist.
If your music were a cocktail, what would be in it? Give me three ingredients.
Pepe.
Okay.
Yeah. Zest. Yeah.
Why pepper and zest though?
Pepper because, well, personally, like, I like spicy. So, and I think I am spicy. yeah, orange zest because, I mean, you know, when you peel orange, the zest, how it makes you feel immediately. That's how my music would make you feel. Yeah, because you wouldn't see it coming. What would be the last ingredients? I don't know, man.
Okay, we can move on.
Okay.
Who are your music influences?
Oh, my days. There's so many of them, but I would say, number one, I have to give the queen her flowers, Ifeah, Tems, some Lauryn Hill.
What do you like about all of these women?
Okay, so, I mean, for me, Ifeah was, like, the most iconic representation of, like, female arts growing up in Ghana, yeah. You know, her confidence, the way she's been able to maintain her career, and up until this point, it's like, I'm still old and I still see her doing her thing. Like, that's just, like, incredible, and it's very inspiring to see. You know, Shade, her voice is incredible. And I feel like she's one of the most iconic African women in the music industry. So, I mean, Lauryn Hill, like, where do we even start? Like, to be able to do what she's been able to do for a rap artist, it's just crazy when you think about it. You know, she doesn't follow any rules. She's just her own person. And I love that about her. Like, yeah, I like rebels.
Okay, so you're a rebel.
Yes.
I see. Your songs feel very personal. How do you decide what to keep private versus what you're comfortable putting into a song for the world to hear?
To be honest, this has been like, for me, it's been like one of my personal struggles because, you know, once you make the music and it's out there, like, it's not yours anymore. So all of that information for people to digest, sometimes it can be very scary. But then also, I mean, on my journey, I've also learned that one of the most things that's very important to me is relatability and being able to relate, or people being able to relate to the kind of music I make. I think that's essentially one of the reasons that I do what I do. And so I put the emotions in there. So whoever it resonates with, you know, it can resonate with them. And if it helps you in any way, it can do that. So, yeah, I guess, I don't know if that answers the question.
So you're Ghanaian, Nigerian, and Lebanese.
Yeah.
How does that show up in your music?
I don't know, because I personally have not even begun exploring like all these other sides of me. I was born and I've lived in Ghana my whole life. I've been to Nigeria just once. The Lebanese family, I mean, they've been here, so like I see them all the time, but like I've never been to Lebanon before, so I don't know. But maybe like it'll probably come up in my personality. Yes, because like there's so much, the blends I lost in there probably shows up in my personality. It'll probably show up in my lyrics. I think so. Yeah.
So I know you blend English and Tree sometimes in your work.
Mm-hmm.
How do you decide which language will carry like the emotion of the lyric that you want better?
I think the instrumental. The instrumental is what's like, for me, determines which direction I'm going to go with a song. Yeah, it depends on like how the beat makes me feel. Then I know, okay, I want to go in this direction. I want to say this. I want to talk about this. I want to, you know, put some influences of this and that in there.
Can you give us an example of like when you've used the Tree lyric because of an instrumental?
Okay. For instance, let's say Min said my song with SD Legend. When I heard the beat, like, it was giving, it was like, it has Amapiano influences, and it also has like very Ghanaian influences in the beat over there. So like, it's just like, for instance, that type of beat will make me want to say, okay, because like, you know, it's giving like dance, but also, I mean, if you want to do like Amapiano, you'd be a little bit tempted to go in their direction. But yeah, because of Ghanaian influences, so I'm like, why not we find a way to sentize and bring it home, you know? So that's how I blend like tree in there sometimes. Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to need you to perform one of your songs for us. Yeah. That's how you're going to wrap it up.
Okay. It's okay. 26. It's work, get money, put it back and repeat. I be ring sing, no time for defeat. Toes are done. I know you want to kiss my feet. The only time I'm at rest is when I eat. The only time I'm at rest is when I sleep. You know, I flow, never thought that it was deep. You look at me, kitty hotter than the heat. Your eye on me, booty bouncing on the beat. Me, myself, and I be having conversations in my head. I said, maybe, wait, am I allowed to curse?
Yes.
Okay. I said, maybe people really think this bitch is dead. Me said, why these fucking voices up here in my head? Myself, I just really want to fucking go to bed. And in my bed, I interrogate myself. Do I apply all the million things that I have read? I think about all the fucking things that I have said. I got my questions. I said, then you should just go ahead. Do this. Yes, bitch, you can. It's wild, but it's true. I am dead. I am. It's wild and it's true. Was all part of the plan. It took me long enough to understand that I'm the man. Come here real quick. Saw the niggas that was moving so shady. Got thick skin, so it really doesn't bite me. You won't worry, then you have to come and fight me. Ain't no other bitch out there like me. I saw it all. I just thought I did was hazy. Your apology, I just thought I did was lazy. Most of the time, I'm just chill. I'm just wavy. I slept a bitch. Now you thought that I was crazy? Hi, my name is Elsie Rad, and I was on Q Music at Sincerely Akwa. So my debut tape, my debut EP, my baby, titled LDLE, which stands for Love Don't Live Here Anymore, is out. Please go and check it out on all the streaming platforms. My name is Elsie Rad, ELSIERADD. You can also find me on all social media platforms at ELSIE_RAAD. Please, listen. You know, thank you.
I let the ocean run away from me.
All right, we are back, and listen, let's get into this week's listener letter, because time no day, time no day, yay, time no day. All right, so this week, who is the listener letter coming from? Yempe Dimano. You know, we always have to protect y'all, so we're giving you anonymity. Yes. Okay. And you know what? We're going to call this person Nimity from Anonymity. You get it? Nimity. Yeah. Okay, let's get into it. Nimity said, dear or say, I'm in love with a man who has two children from a previous marriage. Hey, straight to the point. The girl didn't give you any precursor. I'll say straight to it. Get to it. I'm in love with a man who has two children from a previous marriage. He and his wife are co-parents. The marriage ended because she slept with his friend. Hey, not, wait. The side story is already juicier than the main story, because what? The marriage ended because she slept with his friend. What is crazier is that he found out that the children are not biologically his. What? The children are not biologically his, but he has refused to let them go. Or should I say, he still sees them as his kids. Oh my, wait. How old are these children? What was the bond? At which point did it become necessary for him to question the paternity? Because that's the thing. If they bonded, if they're like 3, 4, if they've bonded those formative years, you kept him up changing diapers and all of that. Oh, I'm not walking away. I'm not saying me. I'm just talking as him. You know what I mean? Please. Situations will be different. The marriage ended because she slept with his friend. What is crazier is that he found out that the children are not biologically his, but he has refused to let them go. Or should I say, he still sees them as his kids. Personally, I did not mind the kids and all until I found out they are not his. I think it's a bit too on the brinks of crazy. What? Oh my God. I think it's too on the brinks of crazy, so I don't know what to do. It's been almost 2 years and we've even spoken about marriage, but this is a lot of baggage. Is this a good enough reason to end things? Joseph, your thoughts are welcome. Ooh, oh my goodness. So you've been talking to this guy for 2 years and you've been aware of the kids, but in your mind, these are his biological kids he had with his wife that he left because she slept with his friend. I don't know at which point that he told you the reason for his divorce, but he obviously left out their biological whatever until much later. 2 years in, oh my God. I feel like I see where you're coming from in terms of thinking that this is like psychotic, like is he crazy? But like I said, when I was reading the question, think about it. How old are these kids? There's a certain bond that he may have formed with them. And it's like, he just cannot like let go of them because to him, those are his kids. That's the mindset he had when they were coming into the world. That's the mindset he had when he spends those first moments with them. It's not easy to just switch it off. I guess there are different kinds of people in the world. Some of y'all can just switch it off. Look, they're avoidant personalities. They're anxious, but like, people are different. And I think maybe you need to like take yourself out of yourself and be in his shoes to understand what that is. You know what I mean? You can even have a conversation to understand the inspirations and the reasons why he's still, because I'm even surprised that you haven't had that conversation. The minute that you guys were having a conversation where he was talking about the person cheated, the children are not his or whatever. And you'd be like, why are you still like caring for them? Like, you know what I mean? You should have asked that question. If you didn't, then you too. Yeah, but listen, I see all that and I understand all of that, but that's just me explaining his perspective and how things could be coming from him. And that is not just a crazy cuckoo thing. But my sister, be honest with yourself. If it's too much for you to take, it's a baggage that you can't handle because maybe you want your own kids. You don't want to have to be intertwined with children who one day come and say, but you're not my real father. You know, like there's so many things that can happen. And sometimes you just need to look into the future, have like 3 or 4 possibilities and be okay with the likelihood of in every single one of them coming based on that. Honestly, that's how I take life. When it comes to decision making, guys, that is it. Think of all the possibilities, good and bad. Yeah. What is the possible outcome from this? What are the good ones? What are the bad ones? And you take the decision if you are completely okay with the outcome, the outcomes, any of the outcomes. Yeah. It might go your way. It might not go your way. Are you ready to put yourself through it and see what happens at the end? Will you be okay if you put yourself through it and it doesn't go your way? Will you be okay if you put yourself through it and it goes your way? Will you be okay not knowing because you're backed away? Like, have that conversation with yourself and make a decision. But girl, don't like, not on account of being some understanding girl and some kind of open girl and like this new, you don't use that to stay and resent me and yourself later. Cause girl, me mean yeah, we now throw a letter by man. Honestly, I just want you to think about it. It cannot be just a crazy thing. This is somebody that has like has a bond with the children and whatever. You know what I mean? And you know what? That's a funny thing. One day he can just wake up and be like, you know what? It's okay. I'm gonna let you guys go. You never know. And also, your friend and your ex-wife, are they a thing? Are they, because they are the real parents here. Maybe they're just happy to get the kids over to you every weekend or something so that they can have free time. That's why they're understanding all of this. Girl, that's the thing. No condition is permanent. But kids are permanent, though. But kids that are not biologically yours, ooh, that's a mean thing to say. Yeah, no, but also, like, people that, like, adopt children can always take them back. Sometimes they take them back. Yeah. Something doesn't work out, doesn't take. You know what I mean? Look, even biological parents leave their children behind. I'm telling you, scratch everything I was going to say. That is not the real tea. Yeah, Nimity, honestly, this is what I have for you. If you or anybody else listening to these things, there's a better opinion or you have some thoughts on it, you know what to do. Hashtag Sincerely Accra at Sincerely Accra on Twitter. You can find us on TikTok. You can find us on the YouTube. You know what I mean? Engage, you know, in fact, engage me on Twitter because honestly, all of these trailers might not include this. Engage me on Twitter. Let's talk about it. What do you think about my opinion? I want to know yours. Okay? And as always, if you have any dilemma, worries, and you just want to get my perspective, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do, just my perspective. Send us a DM at Sincerely Accra on Twitter, at Sincerely Accra on TikTok, at Sincerely Accra on Instagram. And listen, I could be reading your dilemma and giving you advice that you may take or not take. You know what I mean? Anyway, guys, let's just wrap it up there and get into what is next. What? The shout outs.
Let's go. Switch on the track again. I say money. My baby, yo, do you remember the other day I spent with you? Yeah. It should be between just me and you. See what we do for this over. I want us to do it all over, yeah. Make I be your Superman. Make I be your Superman. I go fight for your love, oh baby, oh. I go fight for your love, oh baby, oh. Make I be your Superman. Make I be your Superman. I go fight for your love, oh baby, oh. I go fight for your love, oh baby, oh.
This your love, this sweets me more than sugar cane. Anytime we do this, I know they feel the same again. When you say am I a tender? No retreat, am I surrender? Wait till you, I surrender to your ways.
All right, so on this week's shout out, we're going to be shouting out our sweet sister. You remember I told you somebody DM'd me and said that she was using Sincerely Accra as a case study for her dissertation. Yes. She wrote back to us and she says that she passed. Let me just pull it up real quick. Yes, Ines Tagbo sent it in. And listen, she got an 85%. She used Sincerely Accra in her final project. It was something about, new age media, digital media, something. Oh my God. I should have put it up just to go over it. But we spoke about it in one of our past episodes. And, you know, we're like, Kwame read it. And then he was like, it was a really good paper and he thinks she's going to do well. So I DM'd her and I said, look, I haven't read it yet, but Kwame read it and this is what he has to say. And she was like, okay. Now she sent it. And this is what she said. She said, hi, Joseph. I got my grade for the paper back and I got an 85% on it. Only right, my internet uncles know, and Kwame's proven right. Girl, thank you, but uncles, look. Let's just, you know, hey, I'm a baby boy. That's what it is. Forever will be, always will be. That's what it is. But hey, I like the sentiments. Like, you could have taken one S out because Kwame knows he's an uncle, not me. Anyway, Ines, congratulations. I'm really happy for you and thank you for considering us, you know. And I have this paper and I'm going to read it one time. I will. I just have so much on my plate, girl. You don't know. Anyway, that is our episode, guys. I can tell the entertainment value of this episode is high and through the roof. I know it. And so I know you enjoyed it. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to leave us a 5-star review on the app. Okay, leave some good things. And also, don't keep it to yourself. Share with somebody. Let people know the goodness of the podcast. Talk about it. Let us be in the rooms and the places. You know what? Keep recommending. It's been a while since I saw people say, people used to tell us stories about how, oh, they put somebody on. Who put somebody on the podcast and tell us about it? Y'all are not interacting anymore. And I don't understand. And I don't go out as much. So I don't feel the like real love outside. So I need it online. Okay. All right. Anyway, guys, I want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante-Ofori. I want to give a quick shout out to the studio, the network, the Gold Coast Report, the number one podcast hosting network in the whole Ghana. Why did I do it like that? That was just extra. Anyway, my name is Josephine T. If you enjoy this podcast, hey, why don't you just subscribe? We are out every 2 weeks. That might change. You never know. I'm going to love you, leave you, and catch you on another one. Keep checking for us because it's always a good time on Sincerely Accra.
One bucket tea, yeah. Me and my boys to the streets. You no go believe. Tell us some girl where we see. Yeah. For the area she dey be, she be DB. So I speak my grammar.
So I speak my grammar.
To get them fella. She from Paris.
She from Paris.
She dey speak French Zala.
She dey speak French Zala.
Where you ask him?
Give me your name. I will never know ni. Tell me your name. I go be your daddy. Give me your name. I will never know ni. Tell me your name, I go be your daddy.
Hey, money tea,
catch the girl from yesterday where they speak French. Chale, Ojoji, text. She the try figure, can't see, she the flex. But me, I go catch her. By hook or crook. How they want the time? Carry and go cruise.
Give me your name, give me your name, I will love no need. Tell me your name, tell me your name, I'm gonna be your daddy. Give me your name, give me your name, I will love no need. Tell me your name, tell me your name, I'm gonna be your daddy.
Sweet girl for Paris, you be sweet, mamacita. You dey do me talking in me, your party be Anita. Lick him my wall. Lick it, lick it, lick it, lick it. Yankee, my girl. Yankee, 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 yankee.
Give me your name, give me your name, I will love a noni. Tell me your name, tell me your name, I'm gonna be your daddy.
Give me your name, tell me your name, I will love a noni. Tell me your name, what do you want, I'm gonna be your daddy.
Gumbo.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.